Evening, everyone. Welcome to the analyst meet of HCC. Before I begin the call, let me express our sincere regrets on behalf of HCC for this abnormal delay. The call is being attended by our CEO, Mr. Jasprit Bhullar, CFO, Rahul Rao. We have CEO of Concessions Business, Atul Kumar, followed by members from our finance team, Mr. Girish Gangal, Rahul Shukla, CHRO of HCC, Anirudh Singh, and I'm Santosh Rai, heading the Business Development and Investor Relations. Our Vice Chairman, Mr. Arjun Dhawan, will join the call in next 10 minutes. He is just finishing an interview. By the time, I'll take you through the presentation. Starting with the order backlog position, as of 31st March 2022, we have nearly 16,000 crore order backlog. Again, largely governed by the transport sector in line with the market condition, followed by hydro and water business. Geographically also, the order book remains similar to what we discussed last time. Majority of the composition is in three states, that is Uttarakhand, Jammu Kashmir, and Maharashtra. This year we submitted bids around 12,500 crore, and of them, we bagged order around 1,558 as HCC's share. The order backed is around 3,100 crore. We have bids under evaluation close to 4,000 crore. The strategy of the company remains the same in terms of bidding, that we are going to continue to focus on some high-value jobs in urban infra, underground, and hydro space, in line with what the market is offering now. The key highlights for this financial year is the consolidated group revenue increased to 10,669 compared to 8,248 in the last year. The change this year we have a net profit as compared to a loss of 610 crore in the previous year. HCC E&C standalone revenue, the highest ever is around 4,666 crore versus 2,589 crore of last year. Same situation on the EBITDA margins. We have almost a 17% EBITDA margin this year compared to 11.6% of last year. The standalone loss has reduced to 153 crore compared to 566 crore last year. In line with, you know, what is happening into the market in terms of the material price increase, that is posing a challenge for the business due to the abnormal price hike in both the steel, cement, and HSD. We can see for the standalone part, there is a strong operational performance despite all the COVID challenges and delay in the lender resolution plan. We have completed Bogibeel Road Bridge plus another of our water supply projects. The update on the RP is we have 100% lender approval in place for the resolution plan, and we are expecting to achieve the final closure shortly. On the concessions front, the company has signed the binding term sheet with CUE, which will generate, you can see, liquidity to the tune of 900 crore to the group. Of course, in this year, we also provided exit to our private equity partner from the HCON, and made the SPV level companies debt-free. Operationally, the company has been performing, you know, on a lot of projects, and one of the parameters is how safe our workplaces are. These are a few of the safety awards which we have received for our different work sites. For our projects like Mumbai Metro, Delhi Metro, Tehri Pump Storage Project, the noticeable thing is it has achieved 17 million safe working hours. It's a very large number. So is our atomic power plants. The company also got awarded for its outstanding contribution in railways, for its achievement on the Bogibeel Bridge. In terms of operation, we have achieved the breakthrough for our tunnel T49A, with which we have completed excavation of around 10.2 km of the main and escape tunnels. The Anjikhad Bridge, which we had shown you in the last presentation also, after the completion of the pylon, almost 200 meters of the deck slab has been completed out, and you can see that coming out. Now the work for installation of stay cables will start. the same picture showing you the progress of the deck. We have also received completion certificate and all works completion certificate for important projects like Sange, Bhama, Asked. This job had almost a 16.2 kilometer of water pipeline. On the debt resolution plan, which we have gone through now, the most important thing is 100% of the lender's approval is in place. The key finalized terms are given herein in terms of the coverage and everything. You can see that the debt is still restructured with a final maturity in 29. There is no requirement of debt servicing, including interest, till March 23. Lavasa debt has been restructured with final maturity in FY31. No requirement of debt service, including interest, till March 23. And the carve out SPV debt is restructured, payable from September 2026 onwards. HCC shareholder approval has been obtained. The point, that's all, and we'll move ahead. These are the numbers. I'm not going to read these numbers. The results are uploaded on the NSE and BSE, and we can discuss these numbers as we go ahead. Financial performance for the full year. The concessions business, we had, you know, for the NH34 package number 3, there's a decline in the revenue largely on account of the restrictions due to COVID and some of the other restrictions imposed by the state government in terms of loading of vehicles and other things. For the asset, as explained earlier, HCON has executed a 100 binding term sheet for 100% sale in this highway at an enterprise value of 1279 crore, and plus we also have, you know, an ability to securitize the future revenue against a loan of 300 crores as a part of this transaction. In terms of RDHL, we have received two arbitration awards aggregating to 873 crore in respect of termination payment and delay cost claims. Steiner AG, the closing order backlog of the company as on 30th March 2022 is 8,041 crores. This year, the company undertook an order of 432 crores. And the comparable financials for this year versus last year are shown. We can see an increase in the turnover from 5655 to 6015 crore and from a PAT of 30 to 312 crore. Thank you very much, and we can start taking the questions now.
Jigasha, please unmute your things and you can start. I have given you permission.
Hello.
Hi, Jigar.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I have seen your debt resolution plan, and in that also mentioned that 100% creditor also approved the same, and a shareholder approval also is taken. So now how much time it will take for finalization of the same?
So Jigar, Yes, you're audible. Now we are into the logistical and documentation stage. So we are expecting this should take, you know, estimation is that it should take around 60 to 90 days for us to complete this exercise now, with everything being into place. So,
okay. And 100% the creditor agrees on the same, right?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. And what update about Lavasa plan?
So I think, as we have explained in the past also, as of now, the company has is just like watching and getting news from the market as you all are getting. So we are not involved in the process.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. Am I audible?
Yeah, Saurabh, go ahead.
So see, debt resolution has been one of the long awaited milestone, and in some of the previous calls you did say that while you are awaiting the board approvals, you are doing some documentation so that once you have the approvals, we can move quickly. Is it still another 60 to 90 days you would need to close this before it actually sees the light of day? Is there something you can do in terms of fast tracking or crashing this activity, given that it's there since January 2020 when it was first announced? And I think it's eating a lot in terms of our financial strength. So isn't there something else you can do to speed it up further?
So, Saurabh, I think that's a fair ask, and we are making all efforts, but there will be some procedures which are regulatory in nature, and we will have to fulfill those procedures. And we anticipate it will take that much time after receiving all the approvals in place. Because we have now 100% the lender's approval and everything in place, but whatever documentation and regulatory paperwork which we have to do is expected to take that much time. We fully agree with you. Upon completion, this will deleverage us to a large extent, and as an organization, we are making all efforts to achieve this in the earliest possible time.
So we can expect the benefits to accrue from Q2 onwards.
Hopefully.
Okay.
Anybody else, please raise the hand. Fair Value Capital, please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Now that there seems to be some visibility in terms of the debt resolution, and hopefully now that the lender approvals are all tied up, could you spend some time in giving us a macro and a micro perspective on where can we expect the standalone business and Steiner over the next 12 to 18 months? As much detail as possible would be greatly appreciated. Thank you.
If you ask us in terms of the micro view, the company right now would be aligned on two things, that is growth and profitability. That's where our majority of the focus would be. And once the requisite ingredients are in place, we will continue to focus on the areas where we have our established strengths. So if you are watching the infra market, we can very clearly see there are a lot of opportunities emanating in the areas of renewables. And by renewables, I mean hydroelectric power plants, nuclear, which has the component and structures where the company has a lot of strength. So we will continue to focus on those areas, and we believe that that will help us to secure some decent business in coming years. That's where our focus would be. So would be our focus on urban infrastructure. So I won't be talking in terms of numbers, but I think the year revenue is already there before you, where we have come up to. We are expecting to grow this with some decent growth rates by acquiring orders in these specific fields of urban infrastructure and renewables. That's where we'll be focusing the maximum.
What about Steiner? What plans for Steiner going forward? Any plans for any sort of monetization?
I will request my colleague Rahul Shukla to answer on Steiner. Rahul, can you please take this question? Rahul, am I audible? I think I think Steiner. We are in the process of evaluating all options before us, and it would be too early to say about capital raising or something through that, but we're in the process of looking into all those aspects.
Any time frame? 12 months, 24 months, 36 months?
We can say 12 to 24 months.
12 to 24. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Sir, I would like to ask a question. Why are we entering into joint venture with KSA? Is it due to our balance sheet being weak? That's why our capability to bid big orders is getting hampered?
Can you, relationship with KSA are strategic in nature and let's say opportunities where HEC's technical expertise and the execution abilities of KSA could be combined to secure orders which are a value proposition for both the organizations. That's how we structured that whole arrangement. You will see largely we are participating in elevated metros as an area of focus because they have some very inherent strengths into that area, and we have high technical strengths into, you can say, engineering side and project management side on those jobs. So our arrangement is in those sectors with that kind of understanding with KSA.
And sir, have we got this arbitration money, 873 crores from Cube Highway, which we have done with NHI?
No, that's an arbitration award received. So you know there is a process to it. These are the arbitration.
Yeah, continue.
These are the arbitration awards received, and you know. For you to get the money, the clients have to agree to release it without challenging. But if the client chooses to challenge, which they will, we will have to look at other options of realizing this money.
Okay. And what was the total award spending on arbitration as on 31st March, which we are, which the government is challenging, NHAI?
I'll have to check that. Girish, can you get that number?
Yeah, see, roughly it will be, we have got the arbitration awards worth 6,200 till date. All are under challenge, except few which have been settled for a value less than 1,000 crores. So, roughly you can say around 5,000 which is under challenge.
And as you are talking with the NHI, are they ready for settlement of 50% cut on our total arbitration because of 3,000 crore? Out of 5,000 crore, if we get even 2,500 crore, it's a big amount. It can release our working capital and also reduce our debt, which can lead to higher bidding for more valuable projects with high margins.
You want to take Santosh or you want me to answer?
No, go ahead, please. You answer.
Yeah. See, as far as awards are concerned, we consider we have a strong case wherein we are entitled to receive entire 100%. Your point is well taken that if at all we can settle for a lesser amount and have it useful in cash flows, it will be definitely beneficial for the company. However, these decisions have to be taken on case-to-case basis, and the proposal what we get from, you know, NHI or whoever it is, the other party is. So that like last year we have settled with NHI in case of our, you know, road projects, West Bengal road projects. So that is taken on case to case basis, and we don't want to apply any straitjacket formula for the entire award pool which is applicable.
Gentlemen, my apologies to our shareholders and stakeholders. This is Arjun Dhawan. I'm sorry I had to join a little late, and the fact that we also actually uploaded our earnings a little on the late side, but happy to answer questions.
Yes, sir. The arbitration thing you were telling.
I think I have completed my statement. I'll repeat once again. We'll go it on case to case basis, depending on the cash flow, working capital requirement, and we don't want to, you know, commit ourselves for a, you know, entire arbitration award being settled together or so on and so forth. Okay. As I said in past, also we have settled wherever, you know, we could see the opportunity where we can use it for working capital. So we'll accordingly take a call as and when, you know, based on our settlement amount, etc.
And sir, also wanted to know what was the technical difference between us and L&T in bidding the bullet train project? Because from what I see, HCC has a huge history of building a world-class infrastructure in India. So it was due to lower amount or it was due to our technical incapabilities in some projects?
Kenin, HCC did not participate on the high-speed rail projects of that magnitude. Because if you see size-wise, these jobs are like 25,000 crore and that kind of value. So, looking at our appetite and our market position, based upon that, we have not participated onto that job.
Okay, so what would be the range in the project value where you will participate? 2,000 crore to 5,000 crore?
Yes, we are looking 2 to 5 or maybe little above 5.
So it will be a joint venture or a solely us based on our balance sheet?
It's case to case.
Okay, yeah. No question going forward. And I hope, sir, by FY23, our debt resolution is resolved quickly.
Thank you, that's the main
story for us in making a turnaround.
Yep.
Thank you, Kenil. Mr. Nata, you have been waiting for a quite long time, so please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. My first question is on the debt recast. So I understand it is going to happen in the next 60 to 90 days as you go through the procedural issues. My question around that is, firstly, what will be the cost of the restructured debt? Interest cost?
You can take that question.
Hello, are you able to hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay.
Yeah. Rahul, you want to take this question? Rahul?
Yes, there are different kinds of lenders, but on an average, it will be in the range of anywhere between 12% to 13%. In some cases, much lower also, 9.5% or 10% also.
And we would have the option of prepaying the loans if things were to go well?
Yes, we have this mechanism, put it in the RP.
Okay. So I take a blended rate of around 12%. To be the cost of interest, right?
Yes.
Okay. The second question is, given the kind of scenario that we see on the raw material prices right now, what is the kind of gross margins we can target for the period of FY23 with the projects that are already in hand and being executed?
Basically, some of the projects which we have already have this an increase in the cost based on steel or cement, whereas in some projects this possibility is not there. So we are still discussing, and some of the cases we are also going to the highest level with the customer to explain this is sudden extraordinary changes. And based on our current forecast, we are still expecting anywhere between 17 to 16%, but generally we don't give this forward-looking statements. So I would like to avoid giving any forward-looking statements.
No, that's okay. I mean, just the understanding is required. I mean, it need not be precise or anything. So, I mean, you sort of believe that you will be able to hold on to the gross margins that we are seeing right now.
Yes.
Something like that. Right?
Yes.
The third question has been partially answered regarding the kind of projects that we are going to be bidding on. So the kind of projects that I heard would be on the renewable sites as well as the urban infrastructure and so on forth. Now, what kind of profitability criteria or margin criteria are we looking at when we are bidding for these new projects?
I think there is no fixed kind of guidance for this, but we would like to see that whatever we are bidding allows us to maintain the EBITDA levels, our historical EBITDA levels, and and given the market competitiveness, I believe we can expect something like that. Because expecting either anything different could either outbid us or it could be a bit risky. So our guidance would remain into the similar range what we have been seeing throughout till now. Similar numbers.
Thank you. The point well taken. Just the final point on this. Are we seeing the competitive industry in the industry coming down as a result of this global challenges, or we are thinking it's going to be the same?
Actually, Indian market, you can say it's sectors, very sector specific. So if we talk about, for example, roads and some of the lower end in urban infrastructure projects, the competitive intensity has not reduced at all. We foresee that it will continue to remain same. Whereas if you look at high value design and build jobs with some complexity like underground works and everything, the competition gets limited with mature players, so who are valuing risk and opportunities in a fair way. So there it will be remaining within a group of, let's say, 4 to 5 competitors.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you.
I want to just jump in here to clarify something so that there is no miscommunication. The debt that is actually being reorganized in the SPV will carry a yield of 12%, but the debt that will remain in HCC is going to be, as far as our OCD debentures are concerned, that's 11.5%, and the Lavasa debt, which is going to be converted there, it will carry a rate of 9.5%. So the blended rate, as far as HCC is concerned, is probably going to be in the range of around 10.5-11-ish on a blended basis.
Thank you so much.
From fair value, can you please?
Hi Arjun, this is Rakshit Pethi from Fair Value Capital. I'd asked this question earlier and Santosh was kind enough to answer, but I'd love to hear your views as well. Hopefully we are now maybe a quarter or slightly a little more than that away from this whole carve out finally taking place. So internally, what do you see HCC as a company evolving into going forward? Is it going to be similar? Do you have plans for the three businesses standalone? Any plans to re-enter concessions? And of course, I'd asked this earlier as well about Steiner. How do you picture, I mean, if I was to ask you, where do you or how do you picture HCC to be positioned in a three-year perspective? Would be great if you could give some color on that. Thanks.
So we're a heavy construction major, heavy civil construction major. And that's really, you know, first of all, our core business. That will continue to be our core business. And so as far as the growth that in the last, 4 to 5 years, we have much to catch up on, and there is a substantial amount of opportunity that we see in India itself for us to be able to really regain a lot of lost ground. Doing so in the next 3 to 5 years, we want to be one of the largest companies in this space that does heavy, complex projects, and actually builds landmarks for the country. So that's clearly basically our core focus. The having developed and completed and actually monetized most of our now 7,000 crore concessions portfolio, we certainly basically see that as a complement to our core business in the form of in the past, when we actually developed our concessions business, it was probably more of a pure concessions business in that we were actually investing the equity in all our projects ourselves. There was obviously a limitation to how much we did that, even after diluting a stake and bringing in a private equity partner. So we do intend to restart the concessions business. We in fact made a bid this past quarter. We will do that largely in partnership with financial partners as the EPC partner. So to the extent that we will actually put equity in those into concessions, it will be limited, and it will be, as far as I'm concerned, strategically actually viewed as working capital until such a time the project is complete and we can exit that. So the So the real driver for the concession strategy is to be driven by our core parent expertise and focus. As far as Steiner is concerned, any major player in the concession, and if you take our larger competitor L&T, a substantial amount of their revenue comes from their building construction arm. And in fact, it happens to come from building construction outside of, you know, government. In fact, L&T has had very, very little competition, frankly speaking, in that space. Steiner for us is certainly an extension of our core civil values, and it has that top-class building construction expertise that we can actually leverage and scale up, is certainly in a country like India. Have we been, frankly, successful in doing that in these last number of years? For various number of reasons, we have not. Do we have the opportunity to do that in the future? We certainly do. That said, at this stage, the priority for HCC, as you've seen by the monetization and the return of capital from our concessions portfolio, an adequate return of capital from our subsidiaries. So therefore, we will continue to evaluate ways to structure our subsidiaries such that we retain our core strength, our qualifications, our know-how, but to also at the same time return capital. The question has been asked to me before regarding Steiner. We do have a considerable investment in that business. As far as shareholders are concerned, I'm very, very clear that be it through a return of capital or through substantial dividends or through a bottom line, as far as HCC is concerned, obviously we need to actually realize the value of the businesses that we basically operate in.
Yes, Arjun. Thank you and all the very best.
Thank you.
Saurav Agarwal, you may please start.
Yeah, thank you. I have two questions. One, if you can give some update on the Mumbai Coastal Project. And two, there has been a government guideline for release of 75% of arbitration awards under challenge. So have HCC been able to realize the 75% release? If you can throw some color on this, that would help.
So yeah, let me address the last question first, and then Santosh can talk about the coastal road. The government has now for some time tried to basically accelerate dispute resolution. You know, we've seen the impact of the Arbitration Conciliation Act, the amendments to that act, making arbitrations time bound, and then the CCA circular came up. As with regard to the release of 75% of monies against a bank guarantee, because they recognized the huge pain that the construction infrastructure sector was facing as a function of inevitably delays. You know, infrastructure projects are prone to delays. As a function of those delays, there are cost overruns. And if swift decision making is not made to pay those dues, they end up in multi-year delays causing distress across the supply chain. And so we have in the past utilized that considerably. We don't really have substantial plans to actually use that, really any further. In fact, as far as we're concerned, if you actually see the Supreme Court having struck down Section 87, which was an impediment to actually the execution of arbitration awards, one doesn't necessarily need to even go down the path of the CCA circular. If you have an arbitration award, you can file an execution petition in court, have that money deposited into court, and actually now take it out. And obviously, the court will stipulate the kind of security if it's required on a case-to-case basis. So that is certainly a step in the right direction to actually provide relief. But as far as I'm concerned, the real relief to the sector is going to be when court capacity is increased multifold, and when matters that are mechanically challenged, and frankly speaking, it's a strategy you know, to just simply challenge matters, because really the repercussions of that are not severe, because India is not punitive in terms of, you know, frivolous challenges. We just basically have multi-year delays. We are very confident that the steps that the government has taken, and the fact that they recognize that this is causing infrastructure to be built more expensively in the country, to actually end up figuring out how this can be swiftly done. Our lenders also appreciate that this is a mechanism by which a substantial amount of our claims and awards can actually come, bring liquidity in the company, and we will certainly evaluate from time to time when to basically utilize this. Santosh, do you on the Coastal Road?
Yeah, so on Coastal Road, the company is making good progress in terms of the available scope. We have completed majority of the reclamation works. The bridge works for the marine portion and for the land portion are in progress. And there are certain disruptions due to protest by fishermen. But we are hoping to get that resolved. Clients are making all the efforts, and we hope to see a resolution for that also coming in 2 to 3 months. With all that into the picture, we are looking to, you know, complete this project by May 2024 kind of timeline. So it's going well.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Yes, Mohit, go ahead. Unmute yourself, please.
Yes. Hi, this is Mohit from DM Capital. I joined the call a little late. If you don't mind, can you please let me know the status of the carve-out? Have all the banks approved the, you know, the carve-outs, and when do you expect it to happen? That's the first question. Second question is that I've seen the HCC concession bidding, participating in the HAM. So is your strategy is to again participate in HAM and DOT? Is that the right fair understanding?
So Mohit, I'll ask my two colleagues to answer your question separately. The first question I'll request our CFO Rahul Rao to answer that, and second question Atul from concessions will answer that. Rahul, please take up the first question regarding the resolution plan.
Yes, so regarding resolution plan, we have already mentioned that 100% of the approvals have been received, and there are still some regulatory works to be done, and that can be started only after we get the approvals. So all this process we expect may take up to 60 to 90 days. Of course, we will try to do as early as possible, and we are getting support from lenders also in order to ensure this can be completed fast. So we do expect within, let's say, Q2, certainly it will be completed.
Understood.
Hi, Mohit. This is Atul. On the concessions front, as you rightly said, we have bid for a project in the last quarter. And going forward, we want to bid for new HAM projects in partnership where we have a limited equity exposure. And we primarily act as an EPC contractor to the financial partner. And at the right time, we would like to dispose of our 26% equity as well to return capital to the group. So that is the way forward which we'll need to.
Understood, sir. One more question. Given the, I saw that there's a large order of hydro project, which is Sawalkot. I think it's around 12,000 crore order. Will we be in a position to bid for this project? As far as I remember, I think the bidding is due in June, so it is very early. Is it possible for us to bid?
Mohit, actually, as a policy, we don't comment on opportunity-specific No, but let me only tell you that hydro sector is something of an interest to the company, and that's where our strength lies. Given the, you have rightly said, it's a very large order, and also it's a very large bid. I mean, it's a very large bid, and the timelines are very tight right now. So it will be a result of our standing and our evaluation, what we do at this point of time.
But is it possible to comment on, in general, the order outlook in the sub segment where we are, you know, where we intend to participate in FY23?
Yes, so as I have said, I mean, a couple of minutes ago also, the sector, and as Mr. Dhawan also said, we are a heavy civil engineering company, and our focus is going to remain on projects where we have our established capabilities. That means hydropower, underground structure, underground urban infrastructure, plus urban infrastructure with complexity like bridges over water and large wire ducts, or some special structures. So we are going to continue to focus on those structures which have value and some complexity, where we foresee the competition also to be of a similar nature. So that's how we will look into the opportunities for FY23 and onwards.
Okay, thank you, sir. Thank you, and best of luck. Thank you.
Thank you, Mohit.
Yeah, hi, good evening all. This is Mayank Agarwal. I have a question regarding the results. Like in the page number 14, point number 10, the investments made in HICL aggregating to 1564 crore. Again, it has mentioned like they substantially eroded. So what does it mean and what is the impact?
I'll request Mr. Gangal to take this question.
Man, this note has been appearing for quite some time, and this only states that whatever ICDs or intercorporate deposits have been provided by SCC to infrastructure company, which is the underlying amount which is outstanding to be received, and at the simultaneously it is also stated that HICL, because they have a net worth of HICL being negative, that's why there could be a risk. That's what auditors have indicated. Okay. However, if you say there is further, if you read that note further, it also says that based on the present project projection, the underlying valuations done by a third party, so on and so forth, company feels that this entire investment in the form of ICD is fully recoverable. This is the basic note which is appearing. So,
okay. So there is no impact currently?
No, there is no impact currently.
Okay. And one more thing, one more question I have is, like, I see like cost of materials and expenses are getting like on a higher side on quarter. So is there anything you are doing to arrest that, or is something temporary in nature, or because we see like now that inflation is going to be high, and we are also seeing that interest rates are also going up. So how do you see the impact of this going further?
See, as far as cost of material is concerned, as you may be aware, the basic ingredients what we require in construction industry, steel, cement, etc., they are at all-time high, and we see in last 3 to 6 months, the prices have gone more than 30-40%, okay? So, including the, of course, petrol and diesel prices. So, this is definitely a, what you can say, risk element as far as the cost is concerned. At the same time, all our contracts, or rather most of the contracts, we have an escalation clause. So we'll be able to definitely recover, you know, most of the part out of it. And from that point of view, the risk is not, you know, to the extent of the actual increase in price. It gets mitigated with the help of escalation formulas, what are embedded in the contract. Of course, few contracts may not have a similar provision, and it depends on the indexes which are available. Going further, I think this steel and cement prices needs to get settled shortly, because this phenomena is going for quite a long time now. And we expect that this steel and cement prices will, you know, eventually settle down in the next 3 to 6 months.
Okay. Do you see, like, because there is substantially decrease in profit, in the consolidated profit for that this quarter. So where do you see the impact? Is it only due to the cost, or is something like, what are the other factors?
You are referring to consolidated results, or you are referring to
consolidated results? Yeah.
No. So where did you find the? I mean, where you did find the increase or whatever?
I mean, I see quarter on quarter, like the cost, which was cost of materials consumed, which was 200 crore last year. It is something around 317 crore this year. So it's like almost 100 crore high.
Yeah, no, to that extent, the turnover also, you'll find a substantial increase. See, if you see the turnover, if you compare instead of quarter on year-to-year basis, the turnover is higher by 25%. So naturally, if you consider the absolute value of cost of material and subcontract expenses, it also look higher. So,
okay.
So I don't think that should be a really a worrying thing, you know.
So is there any specific reason like the profit has impacted this quarter?
So profit rather if you see on annual basis, I'm again repeating consolidated. Last year we had a loss, whereas this year we have a profit.
No, right. That is appearing, but this quarter, I mean, like because we are seeing multiple reasons, right? Because cost is getting impacted. So
yeah. So see, it's in case of a construction industry, see, there is the better what I can say, construction would be the annual results or a little longer period results, because mm-hmm. depending upon the cost to be incurred, revenue to be coming later, so on and so forth, you may not get the exact idea of profitability on quarter to quarter basis.
Okay.
So better to compare on little longer period, at least say 6 months or a year, so get a better idea on that.
All right. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Hello, sir. Hello. I hope I'm audible. I just wanted to ask. There are intangible assets worth some 600-700 crore in the June balance sheet, and they are not appearing in the March balance sheet. So I just wanted to explain. I just wanted you to explain how did that. So what is that, and how is that zero now?
Mr. Gangal, please take this question.
Allow me, if you can keep for the moment, I'll answer in 2 minutes, please.
Okay, sure. And just a request that if you could give the results, I mean, if there's some good amount of time between the results and the con call, so it would be, better for us to try to understand the results. So maybe the next day you hold the con call or at least give some time.
With the suggestion noted, we will revert with that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Riddhi, do you mind if we come back to your question in person to you? Because I think if there are no more questions, I would like to close the call and we can get back to you separately.
Okay, surely. I think I had to share my email ID over here. So,
yeah, so Sandeep Sawant from our team will be in touch.
You can put your query on the investorrelations at sscindia.com or my personal email ID. My email ID, that is sandeep.sawant@sscindia.com, and we'll get back to you on this.
Okay, can you just repeat one? Sandeep.Savant. Yeah.
At hccindia.com.
hccindia. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you everyone for attending the call and patiently hearing to us, and also again, our deepest regret for the delays. With this, we would like to close the call. Thank you everyone. Thank you again.
Thank you.